O merciful Lord, who desires worshipers who honor you in spirit and in truth, send your spirit to cleanse us from dead works, to serve you in righteousness and holiness, and to honor your great and saving name, for giving us Jesus, who is the expression of your special eternal love unto salvation to everyone who believes. Bless us now in our worship this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to this morning's worship service on this third Sunday of the Lenten season. In the name of Christ our Savior, may the Holy Spirit of God be poured out upon us richly as we worship our Savior God this morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
This morning we follow the order of worship as you find it printed in your service bulletin. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
All my Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become children of God and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen. I will praise the Lord all my life.
I will sing praise to my God as long as I live.
Do not put your trust in princes. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob. The Lord sets prisoners free.
The Lord gives sight to the blind.
The Lord sustains the fatherless and the widow.
But he frustrates the ways of the wicked.
The Lord reigns forever, our God, O Zion, for all generations.
Praise the Lord.
Glory be to God.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God the Father, glory be to God the Son, glory be to God the Spirit, great Jehovah, three in one, glory, glory, while eternal ages run. Glory be to him who loved us, washed us from each spot and stain. Glory be to him who bought us, made us kings with him to reign. Glory, glory to the Lamb that once was slain.
Let us pray. Almighty God, because you know that we of ourselves have no strength, keep us both outwardly and inwardly, that we may be defended from all adversities that may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Good morning. First of our lessons is drawn today from the book of the prophet Isaiah, one of the prophecies of Isaiah, where he, in the Lord's name, presents the wonderful truth that the Messiah who was to come would open blind eyes, not only physically, but especially spiritually. And in this reading, he also prophesies how sadly there would be many who would close their eyes and ears, they would be deaf, and who would not understand or sadly be blessed with those eyes of faith, but would reject it in unbelief. So we continue to pray the Lord would open the blind eyes of unbelievers through our Christian witness and our faith as we share it with others, that many more may be able to see, as we do, our Savior Jesus. The reading is in Isaiah 42, verses 14 to 21. For a long time I've kept silent, I've been quiet and held myself back. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out, I gasp and pant. I will lay waste the mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn rivers into islands and dry up the pools. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. But those who trust in idols and who say to images, "You are our gods," will be turned back in utter shame. Hear, you deaf. Look, you blind, and see. Who is blind but my servant, and deaf like the messenger I send? Who is blind like the one committed to me, blind like the servant of the Lord? You've seen many things but have paid no attention. Your ears are open but you hear nothing. Yet it pleased the Lord, for the sake of his righteousness, to make his law great and glorious. Here ends the first lesson. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and treasure it. Alleluia.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Our next lesson is drawn from Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, reading in the fifth chapter, beginning with the eighth verse.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Here ends the epistle reading.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for our consideration today is written in John, the 9th chapter, verses 24 through 41. A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." And they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I've told you already, and you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" And they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What, are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." So far the text. Dearly beloved in Christ Jesus, God our Savior desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. He earnestly seeks, with patience born of fatherly love, to bring every single soul into his eternal kingdom. But if a spiritually lost person spurns God's loving efforts and refuses in the hardness of their hearts to believe the very gospel word that God gave to be the power to salvation for them, in the end will become that which condemns them. It's a person's response to Jesus and his gospel invitation, whether rising up in faith to accept it or stumbling over it in unbelief, that determines whether that person will spend eternity in loving fellowship with his Savior God or separated from him forever. Our text provides very graphic illustration of this cardinal teaching of Scripture, and we want to ponder it this morning under the theme, "The Double Effect of Jesus Coming into the World: Enlightenment, spiritual eyes and vision for those who accept him, but continued blindness for those who reject him." Now, this whole chapter in John's Gospel, chapter 9, treats a very wonderful miracle of Jesus. While he was walking through the streets of the city one day with his disciples, he happened upon an unfortunate fellow who was afflicted with congenital blindness. Jesus' disciples, holding to a popular opinion of the day, asked Jesus whose sin caused this handicap, the man's or maybe his parents. Jesus informed them that it was not because of his sin or his parents that he had been born in this condition, but it happened so that there would be an opportunity for God's work to be marvelously displayed in his life. And then he spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, rubbed it on the man's eyes, told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, and lo and behold, when the man did that, he went home seeing for the first time in his life. When that report of the miracle spread through the city of Jerusalem, we can well imagine the excitement that stirred. Friends and neighbors of this man wondered how in the world he was given ability to see. Some people thought, well, that's not really that guy. Just looks like him. It can't be that man who was blind. But no, he assured them I'm the one. He told the whole story of how it all happened. And then they brought the man in front of the Pharisees, who also asked what happened. And once again, he related the whole story of Jesus spitting on the ground, mixing clay, baking with the saliva, and putting it on his eyes, ordering him to wash in the pool. And when he did it, he got his sight back. He said, "This man isn't from God. He's a Sabbath day lawbreaker," referring to Jesus. "He's a sinner. What do you have to say about him?" "He's a prophet," the man said. But when they, not wanting to accept that this miracle actually happened, not to mention that it was Jesus who had performed it, questioned his parents. Parents, feeling rather intimidated by the whole questioning process, pleaded ignorance. "We can tell you this is our son, and he used to be born. Now he can see, but how it all happened, we don't know, but he's of age. Why don't you ask him?" And so Pharisees summoned the man again for questioning, and rather sanctimonious air said, "Give God the glory. We know this man is a sinner." The man said, "Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I used to be blind, now I can see." And when they kept bombarding him with additional questions, "What did he do to you? How did he do it?" He responded, "I've told you. Why do you want to hear it all again? Do you want to be his disciples too?" And they started to ridicule him. And, "You are that fellow's disciple. We are Moses' disciples. We know God spoke to Moses, but as for that Jesus fellow, we don't even know where he's from." And when the man answered, "Well, that is a marvelous thing, stunning to me. I may hardly believe it, that you do not know where he is from, though he opened my eyes since the world began. Whoever heard of a man opening the eyes of a man born blind? If he were not from God, he could not do this." He finally had enough. "You're steeped in sin at birth," they said. "How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. You want to notice, friends, from this remarkable episode, as we have covered it thus far, is how God graciously blessed that man with the amazing ability and the courage to testify to the truth of what the Lord Jesus had done for him in the face of the stiff opposition that he faced. With the humble faith of a little child, no pretentiousness, no hesitation, he simply stated the facts of the Lord's goodness to him. Amazing, given how he was treated by those evil-minded Pharisees. And then we also note from our text how Jesus went on to show this man his compassion and love in yet another way. John records how Jesus made a special point of searching for that man in the city, went out and located him so that he might bolster his faith and bless him with even greater clarity of vision by asking him a question of his own. "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" When he said, "Who is he, Lord, and I may believe in him?" And then the Lord said to him, "You have seen him, and he's the one who's speaking with you right now." And then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and worship Jesus. And so we see how the Savior not only opened his physical eyes, but also, and more importantly, blessed him with spiritual eyes, enabling him to know that his benefactor was not only a true prophet of God, but the very Son of God and his own personal Savior from sin and death, which was the reason Jesus was sent by the Father into the world. That those, as he says here in our text, Jesus, so that those who are blind spiritually may see. And you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing, have life in his name. I want to praise the Lord, friends, for doing perhaps what we sometimes take for granted in our lives as Christians, that he has performed the same miracle in our lives for us who by nature were also spiritually blind, as we sang in the opening hymn, all our knowledge, sense, and sight lie in deepest darkness shrouded. But by the Lord's gracious intervention in our lives, what happened? Well, he used his holy law to help us see our inborn spiritual blindness, to recognize how serious our sins are to our God, and the fearful judgment of God that rested upon us and what we deserved because of our natural inborn condition. As King David writes in Psalm 51, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. And then the Lord enabled us by the precious gospel to see what he did to cure our blindness by his work as our Savior, calling us out of the darkness into his marvelous light, so that now we who were not a people are now God's people. We who had not obtained mercy have obtained mercy. We who once were darkness, as we heard in our epistle lesson, are now light in the Lord and are privileged to live as children of the light for the Lord's praise. And we continue, think about this, think about how you continue to be on the receiving end of this miracle of God's undeserved love every day as the Lord continues to use the gospel to comfort you, to strengthen you, to personally and individually, like he did with the blind man long ago, Jesus, provide you with the peace of sins forgiven and the promise of a life that now is in Christ and that is yet to come. Even though it's still true, and we know this too as Christians, that there are still lots of enemies of the Lord who try to blur our vision, damage our faith eyes, dim the light that the Lord has kindled in our hearts. The unbelieving world, of course, and its godless philosophies and ideas, we hear about them every day. The world tries to do that, blur our spiritual vision. False prophets who come with lots of ideas and teachings, even within the visible church, that go against the pure word of God, as Jesus forewarned would happen in future days. But as we hold fast to Christ, as we cling in childlike faith, like the blind man did, to the simple truths of his word, he uses that word to brace up our faith and bless us with even greater clarity of vision, and with courage to keep confessing and worshiping Jesus as the Lord did for that man long ago. You know, it's also true, and we need to also touch on that other truth of our text, the other effect of Jesus coming into the world. Our text reveals that there are those that when they hear the gospel message, as wonderful as it is, that Jesus speaks to them, they think they don't need it. They don't need Jesus to enlighten them. They reject him in unbelief and therefore remain in their spiritually blind condition. Jesus talks about that here in our text, the passage in the front of our bulletin, the last part of it. Judgment, Jesus says, for judgment I've come into the world so that the blind will see, but that those who see will become blind. Jesus was referring of course, originally to those Pharisees who claimed to know, claimed to be able to see the truth about God and his word, even boasting that they were Moses' disciples, even though the Lord had informed them earlier, back in chapter 5 of John, if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. And you would be his disciples if you believed as Moses did, but you're not. You are blind spiritually. You can't read correctly even the top line on the eye chart of God's word, so to speak. You're suffering from severe cataracts because they were caught up in their sinful human pride and in their work righteousness. They thought, we have no guilt that needs to be atoned for, no blood that needs to be poured out on the cross for us, no robe of holiness that we need Jesus to dress us in to cover up our sin spots. They were like the members of the church at Laodicea we read about in Revelation chapter 3, who said, we are rich, we've acquired wealth, we don't need a thing. Who did not realize that they were wretched and pitiful and poor and blind, whom Jesus counseled to buy from him gold refined in the fire so that they might become rich and have white clothes to put on to cover the shame of their nakedness and salve to put on their eyes, spiritually speaking, so that they could see. But those Pharisees, they didn't want to allow Jesus to do that for them. So they remained in their spiritually blind condition, brushing aside all the evidence of who Jesus is and how much he loved them as though it didn't even exist. And the more they heard the testimony of the blind man, the more viciously they treated him until finally they reviled him and threw him out. It's a tragic thing when that happens. Sad as it is, when those whom Jesus loves, remember how he came to the city of Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under your wings, but you would not, as they love the darkness more than the light. And so Scripture teaches a stern truth of the law of Holy Scripture that God eventually then blinds them himself so they cannot see, as a judgment on their wickedness. Very hard to hear truth of the Holy Scripture, but it's true. Paul presented it also in 2 Thessalonians in the second chapter. He says that to those who refuse to love the truth in Jesus and be saved, God actually sends them a powerful delusion so that they believe the lie and so that they will be condemned, who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. And Paul wrote to Timothy a very tragic and awful description of those who are always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. And Jesus in another place said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables so that though seeing, they may not see, and though hearing, they may not understand, because they harden their hearts against the Lord so that he finally blinds them as a just judgment upon their stubborn unbelief. So, dear friends, we want to pray the Lord continues to open more eyes of others, of those who do not know him yet, through our sharing of the gospel and our Christian witness, and that he continue to graciously bless us and to open our eyes and grant us with a clearer vision spiritually, that we can see always throughout our lives, confess with penitent hearts our sins against the Lord, that we are by nature poor, blind, wretched, needy, beseeching his forgiveness and gazing with wondering eyes and rejoicing hearts on the cross where the Savior obtained perfect pardon for us all. Let us worship him who has so lovingly blessed us with spiritual eyesight by his Holy Spirit, working through the gospel word until finally we behold our Savior in the eternal light of heaven. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. This morning we desire to offer a special petition, a prayer of comfort for the family of Mark Springler, an older brother of Mike who was called home to heaven last Monday. His service was held at Cheyenne last Friday. We pray for the comfort of the family and friends of Mark. Lord God, the Lord of life and death, we give you thanks for all the mercies which during his life you have bestowed upon this our fellow Christian, Mark Springler, now living in your mansions. Especially do we bless you for having brought him to the knowledge of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that you would comfort the survivors with your everlasting comfort, and cheer them with the sweet hope of a blessed reunion in heaven. Grant to the lifeless body rest in the heart of the earth, and hereafter, together with us all, a joyful resurrection to life everlasting. Teach us all to number our days, so that we may apply our hearts unto your wisdom and finally be saved. Through Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, our Lord and Savior, amen. Lord most holy, we thank you for the love of Jesus and that in his compassion and grace, he freely gave himself as the sacrifice for our sins, presenting his perfect life as an offering for our salvation. We thank you for the finished work of our Lord, his holy life, his blessed example, his gracious teaching, and his atoning death. Grant us the light of the Holy Spirit so that we may always be partakers of your eternal kingdom. Help us to imitate the example of Christ and to walk in his love. And grant that as children of the heavenly light, we may sincerely repent of our sins, shun the ways of darkness and error, and follow in the paths of goodness, righteousness, and truth. Let your hand, O Lord, rest upon your church to defend it and make it grow. Give success to all who sow the seed of your word, proclaim the gospel of salvation, and in Christ's name minister to people's souls. Give faithfulness to us, your people, so that we may work hard at gathering in the harvest of redeemed sinners into your eternal kingdom. Stretch forth your mighty arm to rule and direct our government, and give wisdom and integrity to all who are in authority, so that our nation may be kept in peace, and that righteousness and justice may everywhere prevail. We pray for all who have needs of either body or soul, for all of our loved ones who are in distant places, for all who have strayed away from your word, for for all who are suffering sickness and pain, for all who mourn. Pour down your blessings upon them according to their individual needs. Hear their prayers. Comfort them with your presence. We ask all this, dear Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We also pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.